Thank you, Jay. Well, welcome everyone along into the hall tonight, those that are here and, in the Dharmaloka Hall, but also a big welcome to those on the internet and those watching in through our live streaming event. I wanted to just introduce tonight's speaker because it's the first time he's spoken here on a Wednesday night at these midweek meditations. And we've got Mahinda Wijeratna along here tonight. And Mahinda has been a long-standing member of the Buddhist Society here. He arrived, what year did you say it was, from Victoria? It was in 2011. So he's been here for a good long time, but previous to that, he was a fine, upstanding member of the Buddhist Society of Victoria. So he's well known in Buddhist circles here. And it's a great pleasure to have him along tonight because he's a man who's really steeped in Buddhism and has really bought Buddhism from him from his home country in Sri Lanka, no doubt.
That's true.
He might sort of say a little bit about that. But I'm really looking forward to hearing his presentation tonight. So without further ado, I'd like to just hand over to Mahinda. But just before I do, I just want to let you know that the care group line is now open, and the numbers for that is on the screen. You can see that on the bottom of the screen. And there are people manning the phones in the care house right now, ready for you to take your call. So if you would like to call into the care line, you are very welcome to do so. And the care line will be open tonight until 9:30. So without further ado, I'll hand over now to Mahinda. Thank you, Mahinda.
Yep. Thank you, Dennis. Thank you very much. Good evening. Before we get into the Dharma talks, as such, I would like to make a simple announcement. Ajahn Brahm has two more branches, as you know, in Albany, one, and in Sydney, Bandanoon Santi Forest Monastery. Now they have a facility. If anybody wants to offer dana, you can do it online on any day you want, contribute money, and they will offer anumodana, they will offer merit on Skype on the day you desire to have the dana. So that facility is available for anybody to do it from Sydney, from Western Australia or any other place. If you wish to do, go to each website and that facility is available. And in fact, these two monasteries need more support than Bodhinyana in Serpentine or Dhammasara in Dijigana. I thought I'll keep the people informed about it. Thank you. Well, today's we are going to the topic we have chosen is interpersonal skills towards loving kindness. So let us go ahead with that. Prior to that, I would ask the audience, what are the most negative human responses or reactions we experience day to day? What are they? What do you think each one would, I mean, when we, in our day-to-day activities, when we deal, there are one or two most severe responses or reactions that we come across.
Anger?
Sorry?
Anger?
Yeah, anger is definitely such a thing. What, anything else? Well, I have classed two items, anger and assumptions. Assumptions often generates anger, both. So our focus on interaction amongst friends, relations, and other day-to-day contacts in home or office, or even on the road, these two reactions take place And those are two negative reactions or responses. Except one may ask me, what about assuming for other activities like project planning or planning the day tomorrow, we are excluding those. Those are necessary skills. If you are planning the day tomorrow or the week or the month, or if somebody is doing a project, for that you have to make certain assumptions, no doubt. That would be the starting point. We are ignoring those things, and we are talking about human interactions, interpersonal interactions. Assumptions and anger are two bad responses. We are very well aware of the famous colloquial expression, if you assume, it makes an ass of you and me. That's a very common thing. I'll just start with another story. This Dr. Shepherd had a very good practice in South Perth. And he's a very caring physician. One day, early morning, around 1 o'clock, he got a call from one of his patients. He says, "Doctor, my wife has a severe pain in the lower abdomen. Long time ago, you gave me her tablets. Can I use, it may be appendix, it's in the lower abdomen, lower left side of the abdomen." Dr. Shepherd said, "Khalil, you are assuming, you can't do that. Bring her in, I would check before we decide on a course of treatment." He said, "Doctor, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. I don't want to disturb you. I'm pretty sure you gave these tablets and the tablets are still within the expiry period. And I'm sure it's safe for me to give the tablets to her. I'm assuming, all right, but I think he's correct." Then the Dr. Shepherd said, "You have already disturbed me at 1 o'clock, it's okay. You can't assume. It's not appendix because I removed her appendix last time." Then Khalil said, "Doctor, I'm not assuming, I think you are assuming. This is my second wife." So that is just an anecdote regarding the assumption part. Another area where we, in our day-to-day life, we make mistakes is free advice. Often, we give free advice amongst family and friends. We give very sincere advice. They may be good and sincere. Depending on the wording and the tone, the recipient may receive it negatively and may damage a relationship. So we should be very careful in giving advice without asking. Advice is a very low-cost operation. Unless asked from a lawyer, seeking forgiveness from all any lawyers listening to this, a man asked the lawyer, "Sir, can I ask you a question? What's your fee?" The lawyer said, "Yes, sir, $100 per question. What is your second question?" So similarly, we must remember the spoken word and the click on the send button, both cannot be retrieved. So our thoughts, you can change, you can rephrase, you can change the time of delivery and the location. Responding to difficult situation, instead of talking, we can do something. Following is such a story which had a lifelong benefit to a group of individuals. This is a true story that happened in the United States. At the funeral of an old gentleman, his wife gave the eulogy. She gave an incident of her late husband's life. In his primary school days, where how a brilliant teacher handled and changed the life of the husband and their contemporaries for a long time. In the primary school, in his class, there were an altercation between two groups of students. This teacher stopped the class, asked all students to sit down. After making them sit down, she gave each student a sheet of paper and a pencil. Then she requested, draw a line right in the middle of the sheet, and on the right-hand top side, write the name of the student whom you hate most, whom you don't like. So the children did that. Afterwards, she said, now write down all the bad things you can think of, the reasons why you hate this student. On the left-hand side of the paper, write all the things you can think of, why you hate him, why you don't like him. So teacher gave the students about 5-10 minutes. Once that was done, she said, tear off the paper right in the middle and throw the left-hand side into the bin. Now on the right-hand side, write any good you see in this man, this boy, whom you don't like. Anything, even the mildest thing, any sort of good things, anything you respect the student, write it on the right-hand side. So she gave some time for the students, they did it. Then he said, now you go and give it to the boy whose name is written on the sheet. So all the boys gave exchange papers and gave it to the person whom they don't like. So she said, my husband carried this in his wallet throughout his lifetime, and every time he had a difficult situation, he used to take the wallet out, read it, and that helped him to pass through this difficult period. And once the eulogy was over, there were so many other old men who got up and took their wallets and took a torn piece of paper. All of them were there, his classmates. That is how the teacher had the option, she had the option of taking another course of action. She could have said, taken disciplinary action within the classroom, or follow the protocol and take it to a higher authority to take further disciplinary action. She didn't do it. She was brilliant. And we need to comprehend the teacher's action, which had a lasting impact on the lives of these people, and even in 2021, we are talking about it. So let us look at the right-hand side of the people. I will request you to identify one person whom you don't like or even hate. Try to see, is there anything that I can appreciate this man? Because no person in this world that is totally bad. There are so many aspects to a person's personality. So we should try to see the good side of the people. I will read a poem that's written by a man about the mother. I'm sure some of you may know this. The mother, when your mother has grown older, when her dear, faithful eyes no longer see life as they once did, when her feet grown tired, no longer want to carry her as she walks, then lend her your arm in support. Escort her with happy pleasure. The hour will come when, weeping, you must accompany her on her final walk. And if she asks you something, then give her an answer. And if she asks again, then speak. And if she asks yet again, respond to her, not impatiently, but with gentle calm. And if she cannot understand you properly, explain all to her happily. The hour will come, the bitter hour, when her mouth asks for nothing more. And this was the author is other than Adolf Hitler. So you can see, I don't have to give you an introduction about Hitler, but even such a person had a good size. So developing interpersonal skills, we need to identify and recognize individuals for their contribution to the society. So I'll read another story which will display such action. Charles Plum and his parachute. Charles Plum was a US Navy jet pilot in Vietnam. After 75 combat missions, his plane was destroyed by a surface-to-air missile. Plum ejected and parachuted into enemy hands. He was captured and spent 6 years in a communist Vietnamese prison. He survived the ordeal and now lectures on lessons learned from this experience. One day, this fighter pilot, ex-fighter pilot, Charles Plum, was in a restaurant. A man walked up to him and said, "You are Plum. You flew jet fighters in Vietnam from the aircraft carrier Kitty Hawk. You were shot down." So Charles asked, "How in the world did you know that?" asked Plum. The response was surprising. "I packed your parachute," the man replied. Plum gasped in surprise and gratitude. The man pumped his hand and said, "I guess it worked, the parachute." Plum assured him, "It sure did. If your chute hadn't worked, I wouldn't be here today." That day, the Plum couldn't sleep that night. Thinking about that man, Plum says, "I kept wondering what he had looked like in the Navy uniform, a white hat, a bib in the back, and a bell-bottom trousers. I wonder how many times I might have seen him and not even said good morning, how are you, or anything, because you see, I was a fighter pilot and he was just a sailor." Plum thought of many hours the sailor had spent at long wooden tables in the bowels of the ship, carefully weaving the shroud and folding the slick silk of each chute, holding in his hand each time the fate of someone he did not know. Now Plum asked his audience, "Who's packing your parachutes?" "Everyone has someone who provides what they need to make through the day. Maybe your wife, mother, father, partner. So be grateful and recognize their services. Say thank you and show metta." He also points out that he needed many kinds of parachutes when his plane was shot down over the enemy territory. He needed his physical parachute, his mental parachute, his emotional parachute, and his spiritual parachute. He called on all these supports before reaching to safety. Sometimes in the daily challenges that life gives us, we miss what is really important. We may fail to say hello, please, or thank you, or congratulate someone on something wonderful that has happened to them, to give a compliment, or just do something nice for no reason. As you go through this week, this month, this year, recognize people who packed your parachutes. When we don't recognize these people, we stop learning and we stop motivating people. Now we discussed the assumptions side of it. Talking about anger, anger definitely is a very poor response, reaction we give. It had done, often anger will create havoc in our lives, leaving permanent scars. I'm giving to you another story about anger. There once was a little boy who had a very bad temper, really a bad temper. So his father decided to handle it. He gave him a bag of nails and a hammer. He said, every time you lose your temper, drive a nail into the fence. First day, this boy drove 37 nails. He got angry 37 times. So over a couple of weeks, his reaction to his anger was to drive a nail into the fence. This happened gradually. He got over a couple of months. Finally, he was able to control his anger and he didn't have to drive any more nails. So he went to his father and said, Dad, I didn't get angry today, yesterday. So he was happy. Then the dad said, okay, if that is the case, each day you don't lose your temper and you don't get angry, pull a nail out. So this went on again. Now, when he's able to control his temper, when he's not angry, he started pulling one by one, and at the end of a long period, he pulled out all the nails. Then he came and told, Dad, I have pulled out all the nails. So Dad took his hand, he said, well done, my son, and took him to the fence. He said, you have pulled out all the nails, but still the holes are there. What does this tell you? Though you got angry, you drove the nails, you pulled out the nails, but those permanent damages are there. So the lesson to take is, even if you stab a person and take the knife out, you can say 10,000 times, I'm sorry, but that scar, that the wound is there. This is regarding our anger. Moral of the story is, control your anger. Don't say things to people in the heat of the moment that you may later regret. Some things in life you are unable to take back. Now we discuss the negative side in our day-to-day activities and living. Now let us focus on the most positive quality or positive skill in our day-to-day. Anybody can say what is the most positive skill or positive activity we can do when we deal with people? Anybody? I would say, I will put it down as a skill that can develop into a quality. It's humility, or being humble. Humility is, I checked the thesaurus.com. It gives a funny explanation. It says obedience, submissiveness, timidity, passiveness, being meek. This may be as a noun. I totally disagree with these definitions. Let us examine a contingent and a hypothetical situation. A young kid asks the mom or dad, what is being humble? What would be your response? How can you explain humility to a kid so that he understands what humility is? General term is being humble, being polite, being nice. But that's a good quality, all right, being polite and being nice. But would it be a skill? That's the question you have to ask yourself. I have developed my own explanation to this over the years. I would say a person who's humble or with humility will not be proud of position or power and will not display it and try not to rub it on others. Hey, I am the manager, I am the CEO, I am the supervisor, and carry that on his back, on his or her back, and apart from that, try to rub it on to her. But you can be happy and privately enjoy it. Maybe you have come up the ladder and you have achieved that position. So, but you don't show that, you don't try to rub it on to a person. That is point number one. Point number two, wealth. A person with wealth, again, will not display that I am wealthy, I have so much of money, I have 3 houses and 4 cars, and again, will not try to rub it on others if you are a humble person. But again, be happy with your achievements privately. I have worked hard, I have earned all this. That is, you should enjoy that privately instead of rubbing it on others. Third factor is knowledge and skill. Again, you don't display these things. I have got a PhD, I have done the master's, and I am capable of doing so many things, or I am a great tradesman. I can do various types of welding, I can do water jet operation, I can do CNC machines. All that is those skills you can really be proud of, but you don't go to display a humble person with humility. And be happy again, privately enjoy the being skilled in those areas. The other is the last, but not the least item, a beauty and a personality. Especially girls, you might be beautiful, but you don't try to again show that I'm the most beautiful person in the town or in the room or in the company. Again, you should be happy of what you possess privately. Most important, a humble person or one with humility will recognize his or her mistakes and will have the courage and strength to apologize for mistakes early and will do it openly. If you are humble, the moment you realize you have done a mistake, you have done something wrong, you will not hesitate to go and apologize to the person or to the event or whatever that has happened and say, I'm sorry, I'm genuinely sorry for what has happened and I am responsible for it. The last item on my explanation sheet is, he or she will never say, I told you. In such a situation, you're not contributing positively by saying, I told you. What are you conveying in that situation? Hey, see how right I am. You're not helping that situation wherever you are. Haven't we heard this term so many times, so often? I told you, no? This could happen. But pointless, once it has happened, pointless rubbing it again, saying that I am right, you are wrong, that is what you are saying. This is the way myself would personally explain humility. I think if we can convey this to a young person, they will understand what is being humble. I think you have heard enough stories. We'll move towards the metta meditation. Before I get into a stanza, I will still give you a small story. A monk was doing guided meditation to a group of meditators. He gave a long spell of guided meditation, guiding the people. At the end of the session of meditation, he asked the gathering, "How did you all enjoy the meditation?" There was one hand that went up in the back of the room. He said, "Yes, sir. Bhante, you guided us through meditation for a long time. You went on giving us instructions. You went on telling us how to do it. I really didn't enjoy it." He said, "Sir, why? What happened?" "No, sir, that disturbs my sleep." So, all activities regarding meditation and other things we said so far are mind-related. It's the mind that controls or initiate all these activities. Lord Buddha has said in his stanzas in the Dhammapada, in Yamaka Vagga chapter 1, I'll say what is in Pali and give the English explanation. It says, this many people would have heard, "Mano pubbanga ma dhamma, mano sitta mano maya, manasa che paduttena basativa karotiva, tatonam dukkamam veti chakkam vahotupadam." The meaning is, mind is the forerunner of all evil states. Mind is chief, mind made are they. If one speaks or acts with a wicked mind, because of that, suffering follows one, even as the wheel that follows the hoof of the animal that draws the cart. In short, what it's saying is, mind is the key factor. He also has said two other things which is applicable to our situation or what we are going to discuss. In one situation, he says, "Ahara nidra bhayamaitunancha samanya metat pasubik samanam dharmocha tesha madiko visheso dharmena hinak pasubik samanam." What is said in that is, in taking of food, we eat food, sleeping, and fear often we have, and sexual activities. He's listing down four items: food, sleep, fear, and sexual activities. All these four factors are common to the human beings as well as to any in the animal kingdom. The four-legged, two-legged, the creeping, all those animals do all these four items. So do humans. So we are very in the same page. But dhammocha klesha madiko visheso dharmena hinak pasubing samanam. We differ only if we have the knowledge of Dhamma and behave accordingly, which the animals, any individual in the animal kingdom is unable to do. We will be different, we can be different if we want to, if we study Dhamma and behave accordingly. That is what the Buddha has said in this stanza, I think, which is very true. Also, in another situation, Lord Buddha said, he is describing the characteristic of the mind. He says, Durang gamang ekacharang asarirang guhasayang. Ye chittang sanya messanti mokkanti marabandana. It says our mind can travel to far away places. Mind is a loner. He lives by himself or itself. It has no physical body and lives alone in a cave in our body. A cave meaning referring to the torso into our body. Those who discipline and subdue the mind are freed from the bonds of Mara. Once you free yourself by learning the mind and practicing the Dhamma is the way you move forward and try to achieve the ultimate resting place. So I hope this will convey some fact towards our meditation which we are trying to achieve. In Lord Buddha's teachings about loving kindness or metta meditation, he has specifically mentioned why I gave you what happens when we assume things or when we get angry and how to overcome certain situations. He has mentioned chitta viveka is the primary requirement if you are going to do proper meditation, sit down and do meditation. Chitta viveka in English terms, I believe it is right. If I'm wrong, tell me, Dennis, is utterly peace of mind. So that is required. In the process of regarding loving kindness meditation, I would just break away and give you some piece of information. You know, a week ago, we had a grand meditation retreat in Jhana Grove, in which even Dennis Shepherd, the only lay person to give a talk about guided meditation, which was very much appreciated. It really touched me when he touched his heart and started talking. That gesture really was a touching moment. And there were 40-odd talks given by 20-odd monks and nuns. It operated round the clock for 5 days, from early morning till the following day morning. Each talk had a different flavor and a different content about metta meditation. Doing this meditation, what the group expected was to generate enough vibes towards the great teacher Ajahn Brahm for his teachings and him approaching the big 70 birthday celebrations, which was a great success. And this activity was transmitted through 2 servers internationally. We had the information from 1 server. There were 13,000 logins. Still, we haven't got the information from the other server. So that clearly shows the level of participation. I asked somebody from London, called me today and told me there were so many from London also joined this. So metta meditation is very much recognized. Metta meditation is something you can have definitely tangible benefits. Because in the Anguttara Nikaya, Lord Buddha had mentioned Metta Sutta, there are 11 benefits. Using his own words, I shall repeat. Mendicants, you can expect 11 benefits when the heart's release by love has been cultivated, developed, and practiced. Made a vehicle and a basis kept up, consolidated, and properly implemented. What 11? You sleep at ease. You wake happily when you do metta meditation. You don't have bad dreams. Humans love you. Non-humans love you. Deities protect you. You can't be harmed by fire, poison, or blade. Your mind quickly enters immersion. Your face is clear and bright. You don't feel lost when you die. If you don't penetrate any higher, you will be reborn in the Brahma realm. You can't expect 11 benefits when your heart's release by love has been cultivated. Sorry, you can expect, I'm sorry. And practice, made a vehicle and a basis, kept up, consolidated and properly implemented. What I am going to say now is be careful. If all these benefits can be obtained by sitting on a chair and doing metta, I don't think many people will agree to that. There is a cautious measure that I take when listening to benefits of practicing metta. Out of the 11 benefits listed in Anguttara Nikaya, the seventh factor, these are my views about it, you can't be harmed by fire, poison, or blade, needs to be clearly understood. Because we sit down, close our eyes, and go through metta meditation, may all beings be happy, healthy, wealthy, all that thing, if it is going to happen, that's not true. So I have written down something. Those who may have the wrong view that just by practicing metta meditation as an exercise and without right view may believe that he or she can't be harmed by fire, poison, or blade. This is something I'm very careful about, as most practitioners do not have heart of metta to the level of samadhi, perfection, and non-self. This verse is so important. You can expect 11 benefits when the heart released by love has been cultivated, developed, and practiced, made a vehicle and a basis kept up, consolidated, and properly implemented. One need to have higher levels of samadhi to have these benefits. That is the important thing to don't take merely by the English or the statement. To practice metta meditation, you have to practice the other activities of being kind, gradually improving your level of samadhi, then only you will have these benefits. But having said that, I will mention one thing. This is my personal experience, and I have heard it from firsthand. If you simply chant Ratana Sutraya, Karaniya Metta Sutraya, and the three sutras, you will have tangible benefits. I don't know, we chant all those three sutras, Mangala Sutra, Ratana Sutra, and Karaniya Metta Sutra, every night. I have direct experience of people doing sleepwalking, they have got out of that habit. People who wake up in the middle of the night having bad dreams and shouting, that has stopped. At least if you can chant Karaniya Metta Sutra just before you go to sleep, you will have a good night's sleep. And of course, it can be supplemented by having metta meditation, not in the night. I believe the whole time, whenever some rash thoughts comes to your mind, or when somebody upsets you, if you can think, hey, hold it. Why am I getting angry? Apply brakes. Whatever he had done, he has not harmed me physically. Only bad words were said. If you can develop that level of metta at a very low level and gradually improve your skills, that will definitely bless you. But I am repeating, if you merely chant those three sutras, or at least Karaniya Metta Sutra, Karaniya Metta Sutra is what we chant in English, this is what should be done, I'm sure you have heard that one. do it every day, you will have direct tangible benefits. I think I have gone over the limit. Let us get down to meditation. We are left with about only few minutes, about 17, 18 minutes. So if you make yourself comfortable and let us do some meditation, adjust yourself into a comfortable position and make sure you are really comfortable. And then let us close our eyes and focus your mind. We are going to do a body scan first. After that, I will be silent and ring the gong at the end of the period. So please let us go on to the top of the head and relax all the area. Then come down towards the face, ears, chin. Relax all your muscles. Now concentrate on the neck. You can move your neck, stretch, and the shoulders. Then go down your right hand, elbows, wrist, fingers. Similarly, on the right shoulder, right hand, elbows, wrist, and fingers. Go to all these areas and relax yourself. Then come down to the leg, right thigh, right knee, right calf muscle, ankle, toes. Now let us move to the left leg, left thigh, knees, calf muscles, ankle, and toes. Now the chest area, lungs, and the body, lower abdomen and abdomen, and the back. Once we are relaxed the entire body this way, cast your mind in the northern direction of the universe and say, all beings living in this direction may be happy, may be healthy, may be well, all living beings in this direction. Then let us move to the eastern direction and say, all beings living in this direction, let them be happy, let them be healthy, let them be well. Similarly, move towards the southern direction and extend your metta to all beings living in this direction. Now move to your mind and metta to the western direction and wish the same. Once that is done, focus your attention in an upward direction and wish all beings living in that direction be the same. And finally, in a downward direction, extend your metta to all beings living in that direction. Once you have completed that, you will continue focusing your metta on any individuals and or continue the same cycle, or you can be more specific to individuals close to you. And now I will remain silent. I think we are coming to the end of the meditation. When I ring the gong 3 times, please open your eyes. Yeah, we have a little time left. Any questions or any comments or anything? Oh, here. Oh, sorry. Select. Yeah, there's a question. I have been experiencing so much mood swings recently, better with meditation. One, I feel suffocated and regret being moody around family members. What can I do to be more calm and less irritated? This is really the question is, I believe mood swings happen to all of us, but the question, the more important part is, I feel suffocated and regret being moody around family members. If you genuinely feel sad, that means you are recognizing what has happened. That is the most important part of the whole activity. You accept that, okay, I did something wrong. I mean, that is a starting point for you to correct the whole procedure, or the whole, what has happened in the whole event. If you feel bad, and if you feel, you recognize, you accept, your thoughts were bad, I think that's a good thing. Once you do that, next time when it is about to happen, you should recognize, hey, I'm going away. I'm sure Dennis can say something about that. There's another question before that, after that.
Thank you for that offer, Mahinda. Yes, I think what you said sounds very good advice. It's, you've certainly got to recognize the issue that you're trying to fix, and if there is a way of being able to notice and see yourself. Just to reflect on yourself, then at least you've got an opportunity to change it. Because this is really the key to it all, isn't it? I mean, once you can see, once you've got that reflection, the self-reflection back onto yourself, then at least you've got a chance to change the way that you're going to do something. So if it is with your family, and maybe someone's doing something that's annoying you. And certainly, I fully recognise that myself in my own family. These sort of things happen all of the time. But the thing is to... And probably the other thing that I might just sort of say with this, though, too, is that when you are feeling better, when you can face up to what's happened, it's a very good thing if you can to apologise, say sorry if you've done something wrong. That word sorry seems to be a word that's very popular here in Australia at the moment, even with governments everyone that seems to get themselves into trouble. But the word sorry is really a very good way to start this, and I think this does sort of reflect back onto your talk tonight, Mahinda, too, where if you can say sorry, you're starting to exercise some humility on yourself, and that's always very helpful as well.
Thank you. The next one is humansplaining. Did Hitler write this in reference to the quotation? Well, I actually copied it from a book or a publication. That publication said that Hitler is the author of this. That again was but I'm only taking the information from that source. And that was a long time ago. Oh, I would say 2-3 years ago. Then Guy, who used to work in the library, had made a comment. I used to work with Mahinda in the library there. I don't have a question, but I'm enjoying the talk. You wanted to pass a comment. Yes, Guy, you did a great job in the library. I learned the basics of the library. Before me, you were there for about 7 years, I was told. Then I took over from you, and I was there. Thank you very much for your comment. Any other questions, or now it's past the time? Yeah, okay then. There's one more? Oh, I didn't see that. Kim Gordon, how to stay kind without being a doormat? As I said before, having humility or being kind is not being meek or submissive or being timid. Such a situation, being kind, and supposing you have a disagreement with your friend, the partner, the wife, or the mother or father, when such a disagreement appears, if you start a discussion at that point in time, it becomes an argument. That is the time you can display your humility by staying silent. But at another point in time, you can discuss what happened if they are willing to. Being kind is you are never a doormat. That's what I feel. And that is what I have practiced. And that is why my kind wife has practiced too. So you don't have to be a doormat. You don't have to. That's where your humility, that's where your kindness can be displayed. And you call yourself a doormat because you are hurt at that point in time. If the other person is being nasty to you, rude to you, it's difficult. This is not something easy to do. But this is where mind control, where Lord Buddha has said, mano pubbanga madhamma mano setta manamaya, what I said. Everything is mind-centered. It's very easy for me to say, I understand. It's a bit more difficult for you to practice. But that's the way how I would handle. I will not start a discussion at the point of disagreement. Allow it to go by. And at a different time, you don't have to discuss something even. You can display by your actions. That's about the answer I can give, I think. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, we will. That's about all. Thank you.
And really, all of those, Ron has got food in the kitchen, so you're all very welcome to stay and have a cup of tea. And I'm sure we can all.